I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hey, and welcome to Serious Issues, a comic book podcast hosted by me, Andrew Levins. It's always been me. No other hosts have ever hosted this podcast. It's always been just me, solo, week after week, churning out these comic book reviews on my lonesome. And that's what we're going to do for the next half hour. Shouts to Siobhan Coombs, who actually is my regular co-host, who's taking a few months off because she's having a baby, another baby. I imagine it won't be long before she realizes the desire to talk about comic books as an escape from the pains of having two children to look after. I imagine she'll be back on the show at some point pretty soon. But until then, it's just going to be me. I'm going to be doing maybe a bit more regular episodes, but they'll be on the shorter side. So today I wanted to focus on the end of all things because a lot of comic book series ended in the last couple of weeks, and one of them made a massive impact on me. So I'm going to be talking about The Walking Dead. I'm going to be talking about The War of the Realms. I'm going to be talking about The Wildstorm, and I'm going to talk about The Silencer. It's funny, they're all the books. But they all ended in the last couple of weeks, and I want to talk about them. So I'm going to try and talk about these final issues of some short-running, some long-running series, some very long-running series, as spoiler-free as possible. So hopefully it will encourage you to pick up a title that maybe you've heard other people talk about, but does it stick the landing? Are they the really, really important parameters for you? You don't want to get invested in a story that starts off really well, has an excellent middle, and then teeters off towards the end and turns to shit. Unfortunately, that happens sometimes, and I can say with good authority that none of the series I'm about to talk about today actually did that, which is great. I'm also going to talk about things that are not the end. One of them is very contained. It's a graphic novel by Mariko Tamaki and Rosemary Valero O'Connell called Laura Dean Keeps Breaking Up With Me. And I'm also going to talk about some manga, which I'm halfway through, called My Hero Academia. So all that is coming up in the next half hour. My wife very kindly took the kids to swimming lessons this morning. So like all men do, when they're given half an hour of free time, I pulled the recording equipment out. And it's time to talk to myself about comics for you. So let's start with The Walking Dead, which is a series written by Robert Kirkman, who you all know as the creator of Walking Dead. But this, for all but the first six issues, has been drawn by artist Charlie Adlard. And then we have joining him on inks and gray tones, Cliff Rathburn, and of course letters by Russ Wooten. It was published by Image Comics many, many years ago, and has been collected. And if you look at like the bestsellers on Image, on like Amazon or whatever, it's always like Walking Dead trades are always 8 of the top 10 slots of the Image bestsellers. And if you've been listening to the show, you'll know that The Walking Dead, it's a series that I've read. I came on board in 2002, 7 years ago. Sorry, 2012, 7 years ago. It was just before issue 100 came out, and Comixology launched they did a sale, and they had 3 digital omnibuses, that was the first. There was like each omnibus had 33 issues of The Walking Dead in it, and I was like, I've heard great things about this comic. I'm going to pick these omnibuses and save. So it was crazy, like it worked out at like 70 cents or something an issue. So it was a real steal, And I read the first couple issues and I was like, oh, this book will be fun. And then as I got more into it, I remember, like, you know, it, reading it in bed, and it be, not be, like, normally I read to get sleepy. There are some books that do the complete opposite of that. And I remember about, you know, from issue 10 onwards, I think I read issue 10 to the end of the first omnibus in one night. And so I did not have that much sleep at that point in my life. And then the next two omnibuses probably in a similar situation. I'm pretty sure I burned through the first 100 issues of The Walking Dead just in time for the 100th issue to come out in less than a week. And then I started buying The Walking Dead digitally and then reading it for the show as it came out month to month. And it definitely had its highlights over the years. I think the 100th issue is one of the most shocking character deaths I've ever seen in any comic ever, an image of which stayed with me for a long time. It gets grisly, this book. Obviously, it's a book about zombies, but pretty quickly on, it becomes like zombies aren't the biggest threat in this world. It's the threat of other humans who have turned to, like, weird leadership. Like, basically, like, you know, they've all started their own weird societies now that the dead roam the earth in order to survive. And sometimes when these two, you know, differing societies or different leaders from different societies meet with each other, they clash, and many people die. It definitely is one of those books that always had fantastic cliffhanger pages and definitely relied a lot on, like, shocks, like a character that you thought was one of the main 5 or 10 characters suddenly, you know, being eaten or shot. And you just have to, you know, you just have to press on and you watch how the main characters push on without that character in their lives anymore. But I've been reviewing it for the podcast since we started the podcast, I guess, month to month. And while it had, like, an amazing peak during the Whisperer War, I think the lead into the Whisperer War, and then there are moments within that I thought were, like, some of the series' strong points. Since that point, which was maybe, like, I guess maybe 30, 40 issues ago, the series has been fine, but not as riveting. It just kind of felt like they recently found a society that was even more developed than the one that, you know, Rick Grimes and all of the main characters were able to set up for themselves. And I won't go into it in greater detail than that, but it just felt a bit dull. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess, you know, like, where do you go from here? Because the kind of way that all of the Walking Dead arcs would pan out would be like they would discover another society and either clash from the beginning, or they would fit in at first and then something would go wrong. And then by, you know, within 30 issues of The Walking Dead, that society would be in ruins and then have to go off and start again somewhere else. And then we meet a new bad guy, et cetera, et cetera. You know how comic books work. I was like, okay, I'm ready for this, you know, this new society they're visiting to crumble eventually. But it did feel like we'd entered a loop. The book wasn't exciting anymore. So about 2 months ago, we got Walking Dead issue 191. I'd always said that my plan was, because of how shocking issue 100 was, I definitely wanted to at least stay on board as a reader of The Walking Dead month to month until issue 200. And something very shocking happened in issue 191. And I made a comment when we were recording an episode about it that, like, I can't believe that people aren't talking about this, because it was a pretty major moment in the series that I wasn't sure if it was a psych out or if it was actually going to happen or not. And then it was confirmed in issue 192, like, yes, it was, that's absolutely a thing that has happened. And now how is the book going to move on, having experienced this event that I wasn't sure would ever happen in the history of this series? And they solicited up to issue 195 or 6. But then a week ago, it leaked that issue 193 was actually the final issue of The Walking Dead. And amazingly, this issue is a $3.99 issue that is at least 3 times the size of a regular issue of The Walking Dead, which is a series that frequently goes over its page count. It's a great value comic if you are buying it month to month. But this in particular was incredible value. It's a, you know, it's a proper hardbound comic book. I don't know what's prestige format, I guess, with like a big thick spine. And it went down a route that I was not expecting for this series to go down with its final issue. And certainly not the way I saw the story I didn't realize that, like, the end of issue 192 would then be wrapped up in the way that 193 was. I'm going to do a very, very light spoiler here. There's a time jump. And that's not something I was expecting. We get basically a contained chapter, something that we've seen lots in superhero comics a lot. You always have like a jump forward in time where you see the sun, like, you know, you see Damian Wayne, you know, and he's Robin. Sorry, he's Batman now. And we see a chapter or two from his point of view as this future version of Batman and the decisions that he's had to make to get to this point. And like you check in with other characters who have now, you know, they're 20, 30 years older now, and how have they changed and how has society changed? And, you know, it's this fun little glimpse into the future. There's countless examples of multiple comic books doing things like this. But I wasn't expecting The Walking Dead to do this at any point, let alone for its finale. And I think this is about as good an ending to a long-running comic book, a Western comic book series, than I can imagine. I, when you compare it to last year, Robert Kirkman's other very long-running superhero comic book series, Invincible, he wrapped that up, and there was so much, like, it was like, I feel like from like, it was like 14 issues to go until the final issue of Invincible, and they really hyped it up, and it was a satisfying conclusion, but I think when I think about the highlights of that series, they are always like, you know, beneath the 100 chapter mark or so. While I enjoyed and was ultimately satisfied by the finale of Invincible, that wasn't the highlight of the series for me. If I was to go now through the history of The Walking Dead and pick my favorite issues, I'm pretty sure 193 would be like in the top five. And not just because of the great storytelling told within there, the great art by Charlie Adlard, who I can't believe he was able to do a triple, like, they didn't miss a month to get here. So the fact that he mustn't have slept for a month so he could get this triple issue done. It's, you know, entirely penciled by him. And inked, I think. I think the fact that they just surprised us with this 193rd issue, you know, we didn't learn that they tricked everyone. Basically, there were solicitations for an additional three issues, the covers of which you can see here, and they depict that they're like slightly related to the story, but they almost depict a completely different story to what we get in this final issue. But like this, it's so rare to get surprised by things in media these days, and, you know, even though this still leaked a couple of days before the issue came out, I think Kirkman and everyone at Skybound and Image like achieved something really special here, and like essentially just kind of shadow dropped this finale on us. And not only is it the surprise of like, holy shit, like this long running series that lots of people loved and was you know, absolutely a book that still sold. It was always in the top 20 or so of overall comics month to month in bestsellers, and for 190, like, you know, a series that's in its 190s, that's crazy. But it showed no signs of, like, you know, this, it didn't need to end from a sales point of view, but in a, there's 6 pages of back matter, and it's just Kirkman talking about all the different points he wanted to end the series, and realizing that he always saw this as a 300 issue series, but then realizing that, like, you know, 150 issues in or so, like, oh my God, I can't do another 150 issues. Like, I'm already getting towards the end of this. And so planning out this, obviously he and Adlard knew where the series was going. And yeah, I mean, he didn't even try and like squeeze it out so it hit a clean 200 issues. We're ending on a very messy 193rd issue. But I love that they did that. This is like the ultimate, like, this is a book that has always shocked the reader by killing characters left and right. And the final big shock is that it, you know, killed itself at a very unexpected point of in its lifespan, and not only that, but it's a very great final issue. It's really, really satisfying. We don't see like we've grieved so much in this book. We've seen characters grieving so many times in this book, and I love that we don't see the grieving that would come with what was happened in issue was 191 and 192. Were we to stay in the same time period, by jumping forward, we instead are able to reflect on everything else that's happened in that time because of the person we lost in those issues. And I just, like, I'm thrilled that I was able to, that I'm so happy first and foremost that I stuck with The Walking Dead. even during the parts where I was like, why am I reading this? But I would have felt like I really missed out on something having read so much of this series. And, you know, if I tapped out even just 10 issues ago, I would have been so bummed to have had this big surprise ending and then to have not been able to be a part of it because I had catching up to do. I think if The Walking Dead is something that you have completely missed out on as a reader, I would definitely, first of all, recommend never watching the television show. That shit is boring as hell. But the comic book series, especially if you are like me and when you get into something, you just let it consume you and you can't function until you've finished reading the entirety of something. The Walking Dead, you should absolutely, I'm sure there's going to be so many different cheap options for you to buy this series in full. This would be an incredible one to just start reading and then just go until the end in as short a time as possible. And you know that the finale is a great one. So well done to everyone, Kirkman, Adlard, Rathburn, and everyone at Skybound and Image. It's crazy that right now, Image's big two books for the last 10-ish years have been The Walking Dead and Saga. And right now, neither of them are getting published anymore. I'm almost certain that we're going to get another story in The Walking Dead world. There's certain characters that I know Kirkman is a massive fan of and just loves too much to leave them be the way that things are in this final issue. So I'm sure we're going to see a spin-off or something like that, even a mini-series, but I'm sure that's a while away. And Saga will return at some point soon. I think like Monstrous is maybe the next biggest book that Image publish. And they're absolutely a healthy publisher. They have so many books, and like if anything, this is going to see a massive spike in Walking Dead trade sales. So they're fine. But I'm curious to see what the big Image books are going to be from this point forward. I'm looking forward to Saga coming back too. But look, The Walking Dead 193, absolutely worth your time. And to have gone from a book that I like kind of begrudgingly read issue to issue to end on this amazing high note where I'm kind of like just very happy with the series and happy with my decision to have read it at all. That's a great way to end. So well done to all involved. Moving on now to The War of the Realms, which was a mini series, the big event for Marvel this year, written by Jason Aaron, Russell Dauterman, and Matthew Wilson. Russell and Matthew, obviously, on art and colors, and Jason wrote this one. Jason Aaron previously did, what the fuck is that one called? Original Sin, which would have been around the 2012-13 mark as well. Probably later than that. Who knows? But the last 10 years have been a blur. But that was an event that is not looked on too fondly. I remember really enjoying most of it at the time, but it doesn't really stick the landing. It is, however, integral to Jason Aaron's long-running Thor run. Essentially, that original sin revolves around Thor finding out that he's not worthy, and that kind of brought on the Jane Foster as Thor and had, you know, Thor as the unworthy Thor for so long. But The War of the Realms is this brilliant kind of coming together of everything Jason Aaron and all of the artists he's been working with, especially Russell Dauterman, have been working towards since they started the Thor, the God of Thunder run, which maybe that's 2012, I think that, or 2011. Like I said, the last 10 years have been a blur. It's been a long-running Thor run, and I love that this War of the Realms event was less about like everything in the kitchen sink and like there's like, you know, confusing mess of plot threads and things that don't pay off, which is how so many events are, or like, you know, this endlessly padded out, you know, 12 issue event book or with heaps of delays, so you just feel like you're reading this like enormous thing that isn't really as enormous as it thinks it is, but it's still taking up so much time and money if you're reading all the tie-ins as well. But I love that this was like this great contained 6-issue event that like, yeah, there are lots of tie-ins. I chose to not read any of them. And now that the event is finished, I'm kicking myself for that because I really enjoyed this event so much. And it felt like people were enjoying a lot of the tie-ins as well. But War of the Realms number 6 had amazing moments for the Odinson Thor. And also the different Thors throughout time, who you can see on the front cover of issue number 6. And they have been such a great part of Jason Aaron's run, who would frequently kind of visit different periods of Thor's life. And it was great seeing the three of them fighting together. Of course, Malekith, the accused or whatever, the cursed, was the Dark Elf, who was the main villain in the War of the Realms. He brings all of the worst that the many realms in whatever the Thor. I'm trying to. Normally, Siobhan would remind me what word I'm thinking of right here, but like basically all of the many realms come to fight on Midgard, aka Earth, and it's up to Earth's heroes to team up with Thor and all of Thor's pals to bring down Malekith, who at some point in this event bonds with the symbiote. So he is like a venom Malekith, which was a lot of fun. And then the whole event was really, really fun. You have like Punisher kind of like leading the charge and getting way too into this war thing, but of course he would. And you have like a brilliant Jane Foster moment, which kind of now makes her, she's like the only Valkyrie left now. So she is getting a new series that's written by Jason Aaron with Al Ewing, and with art by Cafu, C-A-F-U, which looks really fun. It looks like Jason Aaron is still a ways off properly wrapping up his Thor run yet. So you could, I thought this is going to be like his final say, the end of his saga, but he's not only got the Jane Foster book that he's co-writing with Al Ewing, but he's also got King Thor, because a massive change up for, I think, I'm not sure. Yeah, I guess this is going to be like the final in the old man Thor kind of timeline that Jason Aaron has been jumping into. Plus he's got the regular Thor series that he's wrapping up as well. It's a ton of fun. Like, it looked amazing. Russell Dordeman is such a great artist, and it was so fun seeing him draw so much of the Marvel Universe fighting all these fantastical creatures from the many realms. It visited a lot of Jason Aaron's personal history with Thor as a writer, but also a lot of general comic book history with Thor, how we view Thor. And I think it, instead of just being this like, I feel like events just mean a character you love is going to die in this event. I think this, there was death and a few fake outs as well. I like that this kind of, the big changes that this event made weren't enormous enough to kind of feel gimmicky, but they feel like a good continuation of the story after this, because of the events within this event. And there's some great character moments, and I probably will be going through and reading some of the tie-ins. Well done, Jason Aaron, for pulling off finally a truly great Marvel event, and probably my favorite since Jonathan Hickman's massive, what the fuck was that called? It was Infinity. That was really good. And then there was Secret Wars. They were both like, events don't get better than that, but this one got damn close. And especially like if, like me, you've been reading Thor since Jason Aaron took over. It's one of the few Marvel series that I still collect, is like Jason Aaron's Thor run. So part of me is kind of wishing that he would just stop, just so I can finally put a pin on it and stop collecting hard issues of Thor comics or Thor related comics. But the consistency and the quality of the books is still very, very high. Speaking of Thor, I have two War of the Realms tie-in issues we have Thor and the Avengers, both written by Jason Aaron. Thor issue number 14 has guest artist Scott Hepburn, whose art I didn't love too much, but there were some good moments within this. It's a bit rougher than what we normally get on a Thor book. And then we have colors by Matt Wilson. This tells the story of the final issue of War of the Realms from the point of view of the young, not yet worthy, so he can't lift Mjolnir yet. He's like Thor of the Vikings, so he loves hanging out on Midgard and getting pissed, and he hates hammers because he can't lift them. And he's very cocky and normally written as a comedic character, and in this there is a little bit of brevity to him as he tries to stand up to Malekith and save his parents and hold his own against alongside the other Thors. It was a very fun issue. Kudos to Aaron for not making the Thor tie-in issues feel completely pointless while he focuses all of his storytelling on War of the Realms. These books have been great little companion pieces to the main event. So too was Avengers issue number 20, written by Jason Aaron with art by Ed McGuinness and Mark Morales, and colors by Jason Keith. I love Ed McGuinness's pages. It's almost unfair to poor Mark Morales that he has to share the book with him, because while McGuinness only has like, I don't know, six big splash pages throughout this issue. Morales is he's very, very competent art, but just not the level of chunk that we see in McGuinness's pages, and that's just unfortunate for Morales. But yeah, this book kind of dealt with She-Hulk, we now see a lot less of Jen in She-Hulk. She's been hulking out real hard and living up to the Hulk smash levels of her cousin Bruce. We see one of her final battles during War of Realms, but also kind of explaining who she is as a character now. And it was fun. I like this kind of, you know, like she used to always kind of enjoy being the fun Hulk, but now she's enjoying being like an angry Hulk, just like her cousin now. We see her beat the shit out of a bunch of frost giants and dwarves and shit like that. It's good stuff. I'm not sure, because if someone could tell me if that really great Squadron Supreme issue of Avengers at the start of the War of the Realms event, did that go anywhere? Because I thought that's what the Avengers book was going to be all about. And I really, really enjoyed the Squadron Supreme characters, and I was excited to see Coulson kind of leading the team. I'm sure I could look this up, but hey, what's the point of having a podcast audience if you can't ask them for requests? Let me know where that story ended up, or if it did at all, because I was enjoying that. Over to DC now. We have two finales. One of them is the start of something new, issue number 24 of The Wildstorm by Warren Ellis, John Davis Hunt, and Steve Bucciolato. This was a very long series that kind of reimagined the Wildstorm universe, much of which was created by Warren Ellis in the first place, but it was really fun seeing him reimagine these characters in different ways, very modern kind of take, and a very modern Warren Ellis-y take. And I liked that this final issue, you know, while we finally see a lot of the kind of characters of the Authority and Stormwatch kind of finally coming together to fight the two kind of biggest threats that this Earth faces. I like that this was actually a very personal story that was all about the kind of origin of Angela Speaker, aka the Engineer. I look forward to seeing where this goes next. It looks like it is going to be a 6-issue limited series called Wildcats, featuring, you've got Grifter, you've got Engineer, you've got, I don't know who that is, but it looks like it's going to be fun. They have one job, to save the human race from the human race. Written by Warren Ellis, art by Ramon Villalobos. More than anything, though, I just need to wait for this to finally get collected in trade. There's actually an omnibus that I would consider buying, just because I loved John Davis's Hunt's art all the way through, but I really want to read this book in full, and unfortunately I didn't hold on to my singles of this entire run. So maybe I will have to do that soon. It's also going to be funny if anyone collected all the singles of The Wildstorm or Jason Aaron's Thor run. The quality of the paper that DC and Marvel have started using has just gotten worse and worse, especially the covers. The covers are like this awful, thin, shiny paper that just shows when anyone's read it immediately. You can see fingerprints and folds and creases really, really easy. I hate it. I wish they would go back to at least make the covers like a nice paper, you dicks. The Silencer, issue number 18. I've been somewhat of a champion of this very underrated series that came out of... God, it spun out of that awful Dark Knights Metal event and then was part of the... I can't remember what it was called. All new... It wasn't all new, all different. That's Marvel. It was like DC's brand new great heroes or whatever. There it is. The New Age of Heroes. And that was like this, like, I think there was 8 different series, and they really championed, like, they accredited the artists above the writers on each of the series, and like really had like some of the kind of bigger names. So you had John Romita Jr. originally doing The Silencer at first. I think Jim Lee did a book, but he only did like the first 12 pages of the first issue. And every book, like, even though they were like, oh, we're going to put the artist first, The Silencer, for example, I think had 6 different artists over its 18 issues. So there's no consistency in art whatsoever. It's just a bunch of artists who have their own style trying to do their take on John Romita Jr.'s art. But it was written by Dan Abnett. I think this issue finished with V. Ken Marion as the artist, alongside Sandu Floria on inks and Mike Spicer on colors. This is the only book from the New Age of Heroes that I stuck with. And I think this is a great character. The Silencer is an assassin who was trained alongside Talia al Ghul, was in Leviathan for a while, but then left to start a family. And at the start of this series, it was her past life coming back to get her, and she has to try and protect her family while taking out threats that threaten not just her life, but also to reveal her secret identity to her family that don't know anything about her past. And it was really fun. She's a great character. She kind of clicks her fingers and then is able to enter either herself or her target in like a sphere of silence. So no one hears her coming, but also no one hears her killing people because they're in that silence sphere. You know what goes down in the silence sphere, everybody. Nothing. But this series was really like just solid, fun superhero storytelling. And I hope it gets collected and celebrated as like a very underrated run from this patchy moment in DC's history, because I think it's a really fun book that more people should have read. So if you've been holding out and waiting for the final collection to be collected, I'd definitely recommend it. You know, it's hardly groundbreaking, but it is fun. She's a cool character that I can see someone like Brian Bendis or Greg Rucka having a lot of fun with, were they allowed to use her in their stories too. She'd be a great character within the Batman universe, obviously, with her ties to Talia al Ghul and Leviathan. So hopefully that's what happens to this cool character. That's it for the end of all things. I want to quickly talk about a graphic novel that I have loved recently, written by Mariko Tamaki. It's called Laura Dean Keeps Breaking Up With Me. It features art by Rosemary Valero O'Connell. And this is a book about a high school girl who has always dated the girl of her dreams called Laura Dean. And Laura Dean always breaks up with her at like really crucial moments in her life. And then they eventually, you know, end up getting back together, and all of her friends look on and know that Laura Dean is so bad for her, but she is just this, you know, almost addiction that this relationship is an addiction that our main character can't shake. Mariko Tamaki is an awesome writer. I've not read much of her creator-owned stuff, but I have read a lot of her superhero stuff. I loved her Supergirl Being Super miniseries a while ago. I loved some of her She-Hulk run. And I think I'm forgetting something else that I really enjoyed from her as well. But she's definitely someone that I always want to read more of. This was just so good. I'm going to read a comment from on the back of the book, because it sums up my thoughts better than I could, especially being someone who is not queer. So Molly Knox Ostertag, who is the author of a book called The Witch Boy, says, "Laura Dean Keeps Breaking Up With Me is a stunningly beautiful book and a breath of fresh air in the canon of young adult LGBTQ literature, in that it doesn't focus on homophobia, coming out, or repression, but instead follows a twisting and utterly relatable teen love story." And ultimately, these are the really important... I mean, not to say that books that do focus on those other things aren't important too, but in terms of like young straight people like relating to LGBTQ people, like, you know, when they're at that awful part of their lives, when anything different is just, I mean, most people grow out of it when, you know, but when you're teenagers, some people don't, when you're teenagers, anything different is just seems so much more extreme, than when you're a bit older and have a bit wiser about the world. But like I said, a lot of people don't grow out of that too. That's a good point. But I think, yeah, I mean, I think these stories are so important for young, obviously for young queer people to read, but also young straight people as well, because they are so like our main character in this is so relatable. It so adequately describes what it's like to be hopelessly in love with someone when you're a teenager, someone much cooler than you as well, and how that makes you feel, how it makes you make stupid decisions. And also, even if you weren't someone that had relationships in your teens or aren't someone that has relationships in your teens, being a friend to someone who is in a bad relationship, it really, really well accurately depicts what that feels like too. I had tons of friends that were, you know, in these relationships where they were like 16, 17 and just ignoring all other parts of their life and focusing entirely on this relationship that everyone could see was just like, oh my God, this is just the worst thing that you could be doing to yourself right now. But when you're young and in love, you don't see that. And I just thought this was a brilliant book. It has a really beautiful ending. I loved the art by Rosemary Valero O'Connell. Reminded me a little bit of I guess like Brandon Graham in a way. It's lovely kind of tricolor art throughout it. This is a must read. I think this is a really, really special, you know, we all love romance comics. They're some of the best kinds of comics in the world. And this is a very, very well done modern romance comic by a great writer and a great artist. So highly recommend it. It's called Laura Dean Keeps Breaking Up With Me. It came out through First Second, who published so much good stuff. I got my copy, like I did all of these books, from King's Comics, which you can get online at kingscomics.com, or it's 410 George Street, Sydney, 403 George Street, Sydney, but they're moving soon. So maybe just hit up that website, kingscomics.com. Actually, I should say that Kings are having like this crazy sale at the moment. And, you know, if you are used to going to a comic book store, it's very rare that you see truly big savings on comics. Like, you know, maybe you get a 10 or a 20% sale once or twice a year. At the moment, Kings have like 50% off very recent graphic novels, like things that I've loved, like The Highest House. You can get for, I think it's like $16 the trade, and that awesome Dick Tracy run. I had a little quick peek, but they were all 50% off. Heaps of really, really great, quite recent graphic novels are 50% off. So if you're looking for a bargain, or if you're just looking to completely bankrupt yourself, head to King's Comics, because there's some great stuff there. This next comic I did not get from King's Comics. I've been reading it on an app that I use far too much, but I love it so much. It's the Shonen Jump app. This is the year that I said as much at the beginning of the year. I said I wanted to read more manga this year, and it's pretty much taking up most of my reading time, and I love it. It's on Shonen Jump. It's a book that obviously I read all of One Piece, and I'd seen how popular this manga was too, and of course the anime as well. It's called My Hero Academia. And I've read a bunch of manga since finishing One Piece, and I've really, really loved them. But My Hero Academia, I just, you know, I was like, I knew how popular it was. I had to see for myself. Like, I was like, I'm really looking forward to it. And I started it about 3 weeks ago. And all I do, like when I love something, I just, like I said, I let it consume me. And, when I love it, I just like every spare moment, and sometimes even moments that aren't technically spare, I'll ignore work and deadlines so I can be reading this thing that I love. And I was expecting My Hero Academia to have that immediate effect, given how popular it is. But it took me 3 weeks to read the first 60 issues, which is very slow reading pace for me. I found it like fine, but a bit slow and kind of dull. It's a superhero school manga. So everyone in this, most people in this world are born with quirks that grant them superpowers. But using those superpowers in public is illegal unless you are trained to do so at a superhero school. So we follow multiple teens who are training to become superheroes at this superhero school, like the top superhero school in Japan. And so you have a lot of kind of like, you know, classic teen drama, school stuff, like essentially like, you know, cramming for tests and trying to beat your other students, but it's in superhero training fun stuff. And then there's also like a league of villains who are making their lives difficult every other chapter. It's fun. But this was the week that I finally made it to chapter 75. And I've, in the last 24 hours, read like 50 chapters of it. And I finally gotten its hooks into me. And I really, really love this series now. It's written and illustrated by Kohei Horikoshi. And I imagine by the time I next record, I'll have, completely caught up to the issue, chapter 230 something, which is, kind of where I'm at. Which is where I want to be with it. I love getting the new chapters of all the different manga I'm reading on the Shonen Jump app every Sunday night / Monday morning. And reading, like, at the moment I have like 7 that I'm reading concurrently as they come out week to week. It's so much fun, and I highly recommend everyone else do the same thing. There's a few series that are like very, very new, so you could find some ongoing stuff, you know, without having to read 200 chapters, or in One Piece's case, like 950 chapters. But you should also just do that 950 at One Piece. It's the best thing you'll ever read. Cool. So that is it for this episode of Serious Issues. I've got a massive bag of comics that I picked up from King's yesterday that I'm going to be reading this week. And hopefully I'll also read the rest of My Hero Academia. I imagine in a week or so, you'll hear from me again with an extra episode of Serious Issues. Me solo. Sending my love to Siobhan. I don't know if you're even going to listen to this. I imagine I'm not the calming thing that you need in your life in this very late stage of pregnancy. But hey, if it is, you're weird. Again, wishing her all the best for her this labor process for baby number two. I reckon 10 minutes. It's going to be a quick labor. But if you want to come and talk about comics that you've read in the last week or so, the best place to do that is the Serious Issues Facebook group. It's facebook.com/groups/Serious Issues Podcast. I planned to put all of these kind of smaller episodes out on the Serious Issues Patreon and then collect them all at the end of each month and release them as like a big thing on the regular feed, but that just seems like way too much work. So if you do want to support the show, there's a lot of secret episodes that we put up on there that you can go and have access to straight away by supporting the show at any level. But at this point, this is me just doing the show just because I love talking about comics, even with myself. If you want to support me and Siobhan in any way, we would absolutely be very, very gracious of your any amount you can give us a month, each month over at patreon.com/seriousissuespodcast. Thank you so much for listening. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, etc. at LevDog, LevDawg. And of course, I have other podcasts. I have Hey Fam coming out every week with Angus. We just did a massive Spider-Man Far From Home episode, which you can listen to. We did like 2.5 hours all about it because it was a very, very enjoyable movie. And also have a monthly indie games podcast called All the Small Games. Most recent episode featured Jackson and Joel from the Sans Pants Network from their podcast Thumb Cramps. We did a crossover episode. So if you like comic book crossovers, video game podcast crossovers are the next best thing. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you very soon. Bye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.